This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at DanaFarber.org/everywhere.
Handshakes and hope. What the Trump-Kim summit means to those who survived North Korea.
If there were no hope, it's really sad to North Koreans.
Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. While you were asleep, President Trump and Kim Jong-un of North Korea shook hands, and they signed a document that repeats promises. The U.S. will provide security guarantees, and Kim Jong-un commits to denuclearization. Here's what President Trump said at a news conference after.
Chairman Kim has told me that North Korea is already destroying a major missile engine testing site. That's not in your signed document. We agreed to that after the agreement was signed. Today is the beginning of an arduous process. Our eyes are wide open, but peace is always worth the effort. This should have been done years ago. This should have been resolved a long time ago.
Now, sanctions remain in place, so will these talks impact the North Korean economy? Here's Mark Tecola of the Korea Economic Institute of America.
I think they will look for foreign direct investment. Every part of their economy, except for their nuclear program and cyber warfare, needs improving. Their electrical system's a mess. They have trouble extracting their own minerals for exports at this point. But this has to be about the economy for North Korea. The North Korean economy, according to the CIA's best estimate, so including black market activity, including everything, is probably $60 billion a year. That's the same size economy as Des Moines, Iowa. So North Koreans are allowed to hire other North Koreans now in small numbers. They're allowed to keep and sell some of their own production. There are markets that are operating in kind of a licensed way. So there's signs of liberalization. That's where the growth is coming from.
So let's hear more of what the summit achieved from Daniel Pinkston with the International Crisis Group in Seoul.
The biggest change or takeaway is the way North Korea will use this meeting to promote Kim Jong-un and the Kim family regime. It grants a lot of prestige and respect and honor.
In terms of the personal relationships, though, do you think something significant has come out of today?
If people develop a true friendship and they're no longer hostile to each other, they don't have to arm themselves and point their weapons at each other. So if, in fact, that's the case, we will see a demonstration of that.
There are reports that China is saying it will consider sanctions relief after today's summit. How likely do you think that is?
Some people are saying there's already an indication of that, that sanctions implementation has been relaxed since Kim Jong-un met with Xi Jinping. As long as North Korea is being less hostile and not being belligerent and conducting nuclear tests and so forth, then China will, you know, calibrate the sanctions accordingly. They view it as something they can manage.
What steps would you want to see next?
I would want to put benchmarks or milestones that would be clear, measurable indicators that we are no longer hostile to each other and have tangible steps that they could take that we could believe we're on the right path.
Daniel Pinkston, let's do the numbers. Global stocks are mixed after Kim Jong-un said the meeting was a, quote, good prelude to peace. South Korea's main share index closed slightly lower. European markets, meanwhile, are little changed following President Trump's news conference in the last hour. Now, Eunsun Kim escaped North Korea at the age of 12, crossing a frozen river into China with her mother. She now lives in South Korea with her husband and her three-year-old daughter. She's been telling me what it was like to survive a famine in which up to 500,000 people died.
We have no way to survive in North Korea. To us, the political thing or freedom or human rights, that wasn't important. The most important thing was at that time, we had no food, so we were going to die.
You had no food. I mean, could you grow anything? Could you buy anything?
As many people know, North Korea government usually supply food to the worker and farmers. However, during the mid-19th, the North Korean regime government, even workers worked very hard, but they didn't supply food to the workers. At that time, the market was illegal. Workers, laborers had no way to find food or search to make money.
Now, you were just a little girl, and you lost several of your family members to malnutrition, didn't you?
Yes, my father died. Yeah, and also my grandfather, my grandmother too, and my neighbors, yeah, and my friends.
Goodness, that must have been incredibly hard. How do you feel today? I know you've been busy, you've been working and in meetings, but how do you feel hearing and seeing some of the images of President Trump and Chairman Kim signing documents, shaking hands, talking about peace?
It's a hope. And if there were no hope, it's really sad to North Koreans. So I still hope Kim Jong-un really makes some changes in North Korea. When I was in North Korea, I have never had chance or hear or watching people drinking coffee at that time. And coffee culture kind of Western culture, and North Korean government really hate the Western culture. However, these days, many people are enjoying drinking coffee. So it means Western culture already in North Korea and people like it.
So it's something as simple as coffee shops, people drinking coffee, that gives you hope. Do you think that Kim Jong-un is motivated by the economics, that he wants to meet President Trump so that he can bring investment into the country?
Yeah. I think that's because of the sanction. That's why he came out to the world and tried to talk with Trump. And the reason is the people in North Korea really thirsty of the change.
Eunsun Kim in Seoul. And in London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.